read from the introduction to teachings of the Chaitanya. The whole life is written by having to know facts or do that on your own. So we go to the introduction. Originally delivered as 5 morning lectures on Chaitanya Charitamrita in New York City, April 10th to 14th, 1967. The word Chaitanya means living force. As living entities, we can move, but a table cannot, because it does not possess living force. Movement and activity may be considered to be signs or symptoms of the living force. Indeed, it may be said that there can be no activity without the living force. Although the living force is present in the material condition, it is not amrita, immortal. The word Chaitanya Charitamrita, then, may be translated as the character of the living force in immortality. But how is this living force displayed immortally? It is not displayed by man or any other creature in this material universe, for none of us are immortal in these bodies. We possess the living force. We perform activities. And we are immortal by our nature and constitution. But the material condition into which we have been put does not allow our immortality to be displayed. It is stated in the Katha Upanishad that eternality and the living force belong both to ourselves and God. Although this is true in that both God and ourselves are immortal, there is a difference. As living entities, we perform many activities, but we have a tendency to fall down into material nature. God has no such tendency. Being all powerful, he never comes under the control of material nature. Indeed, material nature is but one display of his inconceivable energies. In verse list, my body.
They think that when Krishna comes to this world, he comes under the influence of the material nature.
They cannot understand how the Lord comes by his own internal potency. Just because Krishna appears in this world does not mean he's subject to the laws of this world. He is the lawmaker, he is the controller. Therefore, Krishna can appear in the material world with no problem. The material world is just one of the insignificant energies of Krishna. But because we have problems in the material world, we think anyone who comes here must have a problem. Krishna comes and shows his individuality, his personality, his qualities, his forms, all without problems. Any obstacles. And we come and we take on forms of matter. We display our material activities and qualities, and we have nothing but problems. And if there's a few moments without problems, we call that happiness. Therefore, it is essential in understanding Krishna to be able to comprehend how the Lord can appear within the material world with no problems, with no material contamination. Not only the Lord, but the Lord as his holy name, there's no difference. People have a hard time understanding this point. How can purity appear within the material world? They think the material world is all powerful. Therefore, even when Krishna and his transcendental paraphernalia and associates appear in this world, Maya bodies think that they have to be material. They think Krishna is some kind of Brahman spirit that has appeared in the world with a material body. They don't understand how Satchidananda Vigraha, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, can appear within this world, retaining 100% spiritual integrity.
they can't conceive us.
You see, anytime we see form, we must be seeing matter. And Krishna says, no.
Adajayanti mamuja.
Manishan karanashita.
Fools deride me, thinking I have a body of matter,
thinking I am a human being.
Who do you think like that?
An intelligent person who don't know me.
They think that first I was impersonal, and then when I appeared in this world, I took on personality and a material body.
They don't know
my real situation, how I'm the controller of everything.
That is why the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita,
Janma Karma Shamejanya, Evam Yogi Shastra. If you can understand in truth the transcendental nature of my appearance in this world and my activities,
you will not see another body again. You won't get another
body of matter.
Naiti Mahamaiti Soyajima.
By giving up the present body, you will revive your eternal spiritual form.
So this issue of Krishna appearing within the material world,
this is very essential to grace.
That's probably what writes here. Being all powerful, he never comes under the control of material nature. Indeed, material nature is but one display of his inconceivable energies.
Personality of Godhead appears by either his transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, or variations, the demon is at once vanquished. It is said that a ghost cannot remain as soon as the holy name of the Lord is chanted. The great saints and devotees of the Lord are in the list of his paraphernalia, and thus as soon as a saintly devotee is present, the ghostly sins are at once vanquished. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. One is recommended, therefore, to associate only with saintly devotees so that worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence. Krishna Maharaj is speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, glorifying him, saying that just like an atheist cannot remain in the presence of the Supreme Lord, similarly, the sins of a man cannot remain in the presence of such a saintly person like you, O great mystic. Real mystic power means to be able to stop sinful activity, to extinguish sinful activity. Prabhupada comments that his real mystic power is that you inspire countless persons to stop their sinful activities. Even in this field, just Kali. An age in which everyone is drowning in illicit sex, intoxication, reading, and gambling, Srila Prabhupada was able to inspire countless persons to take off the commitment to end their sinful activities. Because of sinful activities, we cannot see Krishna. First of all, Krishna is inconceivable. That is a fact. So on one side, you have that barrier. On the other side, our side, we also have a barrier. Our sinful activities disqualify us. God realization requires that at least we give up our sinful activities. Although these sinful activities cause us so much trouble, we cling to them so tightly. They're like our second nature. Therefore, we really have to work hard in the cleansing process. And we should never think we are too old in devotional service, too mature, to not be attentive about the cleansing process. Just like when you've been working in soil or doing hard physical labor, you have to go into the shower and scrub. You have to work at it. Similarly, if we're going to become cleansed from the dirt of Kali Yuga, we have to work at cleaning ourselves. That requires attentiveness to the process of bhakti yoga and reliance on the holy name of the Lord. It's not that difficult. Yet, because we're so weak and feeble in this age, even the simplest process seems time-consuming. We grudge Krishna after a while. How much is Krishna going to take out of my life? There's a lot of things I could be doing with my senses other than bhakti yoga, you know? I mean, I don't mind a little pious activity. I don't mind, you know, little puja here and there, little thumbing through the holy books, little fingering of the beads every once in a while. Especially I don't mind, you know, taking prasad while someone else took it. Oh, I don't mind all that. But one thing I have a problem with, that is the complete intrusion of Krishna into my life. I don't need to say it like that. I wouldn't call it a complete intrusion. Of course, the Lord's presence is always welcome. It's just that we all have to go through the growing process. We all have to balance ourselves, and then the Lord may find us suitable to utilize. So it's up to us that we kind of have to go at our own speed, and when we're ready, we can call Krishna. But just to kind of jump full on, I just don't know if that's actually spiritual even. I see a lot of people. They get enthusiastic about bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, and then they burn out. They lose their enthusiasm. And you know what the reason is? The reason is they got too much into it. They were chanting too much, trying to serve Krishna too much. It wasn't natural. So yes, just to take it as it comes, you know, try to be a good human being. Don't try to offend anyone. Just be nice and well-intentioned and believe in Krishna and support religious causes whenever you can. Which is not too often because there's always things to buy that are needed around the home. But whenever there are some pennies you toss them towards the Supreme Lord, you offer your obeisances when necessary to the saintly person, so don't let them get too close to your house. I don't want things being shaken up in the home. In other words, the whole art of practical devotional service is how to keep Krishna at a safe distance by offering oblations. You don't want to bring Krishna too much into the center, although he belongs there. Don't get me wrong, we're not atheists. He belongs in the center. But we have to be practical and honest about how much Krishna we can tolerate. I mean, not tolerate, but I mean, how much Krishna we're able to accept right now. So this is how we do it. This is how we scheme to remain in the material world while acknowledging the Supreme Lord. In this way, we miss out on what is real pleasure. It really dawns on us sometimes that real pleasure is rendering devotional service. How many of you sometimes wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, I'm going to have some fun today. I'm going to serve Krishna. Time for enjoyment. Time to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, some of us may wake up in the morning thinking, oh, it's time to do what you got to do, otherwise you're a sinful person. Well, it's time to do what you gotta do, because if you don't serve Krishna, you end up serving Maya, and that's hell. So the less hellish thing is to serve Krishna. True, in the beginning, we don't have complete realization of the transcendental pleasure of serving the senses of the Lord. Many of us are coming to bhakti because we have a frustrating time in the material world and we want relief. So therefore, we consider that chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, is relief. We're not quite sure of the positive value. One thing we know is we get a feeling of peace and relief, and that's all we want. That's all right in the beginning, but very soon you'll notice that the memories of material frustration fade. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, as the years go by, you lose your distaste of material life. You forget all about those horrible experiences. And because you haven't cultivated positive attachment to Krishna, you wander out into the material world again. And we don't want that to happen. We need solid knowledge of why there is sinful activity. Now actually, you see, Krishna consciousness, Vedic knowledge is so deep. Ultimately, there's no such thing as good or bad in this world. That is Lord Caitanya's statement. Dvaita Bhajya Bhajya Gyan, Sabhamana Dhamma. That's the last one. There's one more left. That's what I'm forgetting. Esa Brahma. So, Lord Caitanya said, there's no such thing as good or bad in this world. It's all mano-dharma, mental concoction. When you say this is good, this is bad, it's actually all bad. Everything in this material world is bad. But for temporal purposes, for temporary purposes, you can divide into categories, sinful and pious. But actually, Krishna consciousness is beyond even pious activity. We reject even good karma. Because ultimately, good karma is bad, it's material activity. Krishna consciousness is by
beyond material righteousness. Krishna consciousness means how to be conscious of Krishna at every moment. When you are conscious of Krishna at every moment, naturally you don't commit any sin. So people sometimes have a hard time understanding this. You say there's nothing good in this world. It's all bad. Does that mean, though, that you should start performing sinful activities? Because actually, whether you do righteous activities or unrighteous, it's all the same, it's all bad, so doesn't matter what you do. No. Because sinful activities prevent you from understanding Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yesham to Antakatam Papam, Janayam Punyakamanam. Only those that put a complete stop to sinful activity, they can begin to understand what is Krishna. But that's just the beginning, to put a stop to sinful activity. You have to rise beyond also righteousness and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Then you are beyond good and bad. So this is how expansive the Vaishnava spiritual knowledge is. It goes far beyond the good and bad of this world, far beyond papa and punya, pious and sinful activity. Because people do not understand the effects of illicit sex, meaning intoxication and gambling, they don't understand what the illicit power is. If someone can show some magical trick, they think, oh, he's a saintly person, he's a transcendentalist. If someone can inspire you to want to drop your sinful activities, oh, that's no big deal. Prithvi Maharaj understands the situation, and he's glorifying Sukadeva Goswami in this way. In your presence, all the sins flee. When the sins flee, then we're starting to be able to understand Krishna. Prabhupada handing us the disciple succession's process for understanding Krishna means push away the sin while engaging solemnly in devotional service to the Lord. Now, each one of us, we have to convince ourselves why sinful activity is destructive to our spiritual life. That requires some cultivation of knowledge. You have to know the consequences of your senses acting in certain ways. Because Maya will always make presentations to your mind. What about this? Do you remember that? Wouldn't you like to do this again? Just once or twice. Now, it's the nature of the material mind, as we were discussing Friday, to be always accompanied by lust, anger, greed, fear, illusion. These six enemies accompany the mind. How do you deal with that? Are you always just battling? No. Bhakti yoga means you take your mind and engage it at the lotus feet of the Lord. Actively, the more you engage in devotional service, the more your mind is free from sinful influence. So devotional service is the hallmark of the devotee. It's the engine of the vehicle. A vehicle without an engine is not going anywhere. Clearly, a devotee without devotional service is not going anywhere. Without devotional service, you become a rat. It's like if James had given me a tour of the ground here. I see so many, wrecked vehicles parked here and there. There's so many. And we don't want to personally be like wrecks. But that's what will happen to us if we give up devotional service. Prithvi Maharaj, we appreciate it. Your effect on me is that the sins are going. Actually, it's not a normal thing for a saintly person like Shukadeva Goswami to give audience to Prithvi Maharaj. Krishna Maharaj himself said that earlier. That generally, persons like you never come near kings. We're like refuse to be discarded to far off places.
Like Craig and Jamie, they're also showing me the special refuse burning area in Vashan.
Nothing all paper there. There's some plastic there. And it can burn very easily.
Wasn't until I actually thought, like, there was so many indications that I asked them, you mean there's no rubbish collection service coming here?
No, it's all the refuse comes right here, and
So, you know, you saw some ashes there from the paper race, and then you saw kind of globs of plastic, you know, nappies and plastic containers, and it doesn't break down. You can just see it, it's just right there. And they told me, well, over here, buried under the ground, about three refrigerators, and
So these are things we have to deal with in a Krishna conscious way.
Although we may,
I'm also guilty of that.
We may think, okay, the refuge is going out of where I'm living, so
where it goes, I don't know.
But when you see where it goes and see the situation, then you begin to think, oh, not too good.
So Krishna Maharaj, he's saying, the royal order, we're like refuge to be thrown and tossed out in a distant place. But yet you should believe you're coming here. Such a rare thing. I want you here.
Lord Caitanya, of course, demonstrated this policy of saintly person not going near kings.
When Lord Caitanya went to South India on tour, King Prataparudra,
the king of Orissa,
he invited Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one of the Lord's associates, and at his palace, he asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I've heard that you're in contact with a very great saintly person. And I've heard that that saintly person has been very merciful to you. Therefore, you should show me mercy. Since he's been merciful to you, you should now be merciful to me by giving audience, by getting me an audience with Sri Krishna Caitanya.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replies,
indeed, everything you said is true. I am in contact with an extraordinarily merciful person. And he has been very merciful to me. But there's one problem in my arranging an interview with you. So you can see Lord Caitanya. He's very strict. He only stays in solitary places. He doesn't mix with worldly enjoyers. And he doesn't even see things in dreams.
That is how we're going to go to Charles Holman.
In any case, actually, I was thinking of arranging an interview for you, but the Lord has gone to South India.
Immediately, this thing else.
Why did he go? Why did Lord Caitanya go to South India? He left Orissa and gone? Why?
Sarvabhauma replied,
this is the way of great personalities.
And he explained that
great saintly persons, they go to pilgrimage places, not that they need to be purified, but to purify the places of pilgrimage. Because at places of pilgrimage, people come there and commit sinful activities. They pollute the places, so the saintly persons go there to minimize the stock of sinful reactions stored there and to purify the residents of the holy places.
Sometimes perform sinful activities.
Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya added, bear in mind that this is Sri Krishna Caitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not an ordinary living being, but he's acting in that way to show the proper example. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's acting like a saintly living entity just to show what. Just to show what should be done. Still, Prataparudra was not satisfied. He said, how did you let him go? Why did you stop him?
and Sarvabhauma Vanachari's life. The Lord is independent. He does what he wants. But then he said, I did try to stop him though, but I was not successful. But he said, that's all right. I know that very soon Lord Caitanya is coming back from South India. And I will try something. Well, Lord Caitanya, actually, Sarvabhauma Vanacharya told King Prasaparuja, there's something you can do. When the Lord comes back, he's going to want, he's going to need a quiet, solitary place near the Jagannathpuri temple. Can you arrange such a thing? So Prasaparuja immediately replied, yes. Kashi Nishka's place will be perfect. He's a king, he's an administrator. But immediately he knows how to do things. Yes, we'll make that arrangement. We'll do like this. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's the pundit, the Brahmin. He's not so much concerned with the day-to-day hands-on things. He's not concerned at all with that. But Guruka, he's the master of hands-on. Yes, immediately I know the place. Not a problem. Kashi Mishra, in a quiet, peaceful place, right near the Jagannathpuri temple, Lord Caitanya will feel quite comfortable there. So the king told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you go to Kashi Mishra's house, you arrange. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did that. Kashi Mishra was so grateful, oh, the Lord will be staying at my home. What a great person. So Lord Caitanya came back from South India, and he went to the Jagannathpuri temple, and then he was taken to Kashi Mishra's house, very pleased at his dwelling where he could stay. Upon getting there, Kashi Mishra falls at his feet, Lord Caitanya reveals a four-handed form for Kashi Mishra to see. Ramananda Roy, he's also in Jagannathpuri at that time. Lord Caitanya had asked him, I want you to retire from government service. Be with me. But Ramananda Roy had to go to the king and ask, release me. And who was the king? Prasaparuja. So Ramananda Roy went to the king and said, please, I want to retire from government service. I want to spend the rest of my days with Sri Krishna Chaitanya. As soon as the king heard the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he just displayed ecstatic symptoms. He said, yes, you please go with the Lord. I'll give you full salary. You won't get one penny reduction. You'll get the full pension. The pension will be your full salary. You please go with the Lord. I wish I could go, but I'm too unfit. I'm too fallen. Maybe in the next birth I'll be able to associate with Lord Caitanya. Meanwhile, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was making a presentation to Lord Caitanya. He said, my dear Lord, please allow me to say one thing without fear. Lord Caitanya said, yes, speak your mind. If it's right, I'll agree with it. If wrong, I won't. But speak your mind. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya presented. The king, Prasaparuja, would like to see you. Lord Caitanya manifested astonishment. You want me to see a king? Do you realize what you're saying? And he quoted several verses saying, it's worse than drinking poison to associate with a materialistic enjoyer. Anyone who wants to cross to the other side of the ocean of birth and death, they cannot associate with materialistic people. If you want to get to the other side of Bhavasagara, the ocean of birth and death, you have to watch who you associate with. Indeed, that is a main symptom of a Vaishnava. What do you think? Vaishnava means simply to wear kunti mala around your neck, wear tilak, The first system of a Vaishnava, one of the main basic systems is asatsanga jaa e Vaishnava jaa, to give up the association of materialistic people. That means you don't mix with them for material purposes. Now you have to associate with someone, and therefore the positive injunction is also there. You associate with devotees of the Lord. The association of devotees should be always discussing Krishna's glory, not shop talk, Prabhupada called it. Listening to Prabhupada lecture, explaining the verse about how the rising and setting of the sun decreases everyone's lifespan except those who are glorifying Krishna. So Prabhupada was speaking about, you have to fight the sun. He's never said something like that. I have to fight the sun. He said, yes, you have to fight the sun. Because when the sun goes up and down, it's robbing your life. You've got to fight that. So now spaced out there, we never look at the sun and think, I've got to fight the sun. No, you know, what a nice sun, or there's no sun today, or when the sun came out, or there's a hole in the ozone, how long can I stay out in the sun? The Prabhupada said, no, fight the sun. You've got to fight for your immortality. Because the rising and setting of the sun affects everyone except those who are hearing and chanting about Krishna. So he explained that in this great assembly of devotees, there should always be Krishna katha, not shop talk, not politics. What is shop talk politics? According to Prabhupada's definition, it's just hubbub about, well, who's doing this, who's doing that, and talking and bickering about internal affairs. You call that shop talk. Have you ever gone to some kind of auto garage or factory or any place where there's workers? Shop talk is what goes on all the time. What's the boss doing? You're getting paid more than me. You've been working here 2 years. You've only been here 1 year. Your wages are just a little bit less than mine. This is shop talk. So, Prabhupada constantly pleaded that too much shop talk, too much. He called it politics. Another name he had for was a... Now, Krishna Katha. You'll be surprised at the valley of Krishna Katha. You'll be surprised how it solves problems. If we don't understand how talking about Krishna solves problems, then what good are we to anyone else? The solid program is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Based around that, we sort out various subordinate things, far subordinate things. Then you become immortal simply by hearing about Krishna. That is the positive value of Vaishnava association. We're always eager for a chance to glorify Krishna. Just like materialists. They're eager for material activity. You want to play sports? Hey, you're coming to the rugby game Saturday? Yeah, let's go. So the vote is up. You want to glorify Krishna? You want to hear about Krishna? Let's go. The two classes cannot get along. Not possible. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dvabhuta Saga Lokesma, Daiva Asura Evata. Since the beginning of creation, there have been these two classes of persons, divine and demoniac. They don't get along. One is spontaneous about material activity, the other is spontaneous about hearing about Krishna. One becomes enlivened when there's passion, the other becomes enlivened when there's a chance to hear and chant about Krishna. This is what we want to show people, how to become enlivened by hearing about Krishna. We want to demonstrate ecstatic, enthusiastic attraction to the message of Lord Krishna. That means we ourselves have to see value in that process. So Lord Chaitanya sets the firm example. I can't see a king, a worldly enjoyer, but thought of all what they tell you to say? That's true, but he's a king, therefore he's a feminist servant. And he told Sarabon to the side, you go on talking like this, and I'm going to leave. You're not going to see me around here. So Sarabon the side was afraid. He went back to his house and began to contemplate the situation. And that's when Ramananda Roy was approaching the king, saying, Lord Chaitanya wants me to be with him. I want to retire. And he just let me, release me from government service. And the king gave him full salary as a pension, told him, I'm so unfit, I can't be with the Lord. Maybe an expert. So Ramananda Roy, he went to see Lord Chaitanya. They embraced ecstatically. Everyone was wondering, who is this Ramananda Roy? Why is the Lord embracing him with such ecstasy? And then Ramananda Roy told the Lord, I can be with you because the king, Pataparusa, has given me my release. He's given me full salary. I wish that I had just a drop of attachment that the king has for you, Lord Chaitanya. Just by hearing your name, he broke out in ecstatic symptoms. And what did Lord Chaitanya say? Because the king loves you, my devotee, therefore there'll be great fortune for him. Krishna in the future will be very merciful upon him because he loves you. In this way, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated, one who is a devotee of the devotee is most dear to Krishna. So that was the hint that in the future, somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya was going to arrange that the king could see him in such a way that the Lord would not sacrifice his strict protocol and the king would get the mercy. So the seed of the event was that Pataparuja had pleased Ramananda Roy and made it completely possible for Ramananda Roy to engage in service to Lord Chaitanya. Hopefully now we can understand why Prichit Maharaj is speaking like this to Shukadeva Goswami. That ordinarily, you say these persons have nothing to do with persons like me. So now you're here, and I'm perceiving the effects in your association. These sinful activities are fleeing. This is the kind of potency that we want to develop. That in our presence, people want to give up their sinful life. That takes work. This is our career, as we were speaking Friday. We want to become walking places of pilgrimage. And we want to make New Varshan a place of pilgrimage. You can open the door. Yes, please. Thank you. It is not only when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya that he demonstrates what other living entities should do. Also when Krishna himself comes. When Krishna was in Dwarka at Adam and Mary's house last night, after dinner we were reading about Krishna's activities in Dwarka. So, Narada Muni, he had heard that Krishna married 16,000 wives in simultaneous weddings in 16,000 houses. 16,000 weddings. Simultaneously in 16,000 houses. So Narada Muni was curious. I want to see how the Lord is managing with so many wives. So Narada Muni came to Dwarka to visit each of the palaces of the Lord, because Krishna is there in Dwarka, expanded into a Krishna for each wife. It's not that each wife had to wait 16,000 nights to be with Krishna. No. Each wife had her own Krishna, her own palace. So, when Krishna would leave the palaces in the morning, 16,000 Krishnas would come out. And then, on the way to the Siddharma assembly house, all 16,000 Krishnas would become one Krishna. Krishna's mystic power. As he's leaving each palace, the water is. You have. When Krishna's mouth would just become one Krishna.
How can we compete with Krishna? Not possible. So, now when he went from palace to palace, first he went to the chief wife, Rukmini, went to her palace. And there he saw Krishna being fanned personally by Rukmini, even though she had so many qualified maidservants, she was doing it personally. When Krishna saw an arrow come in, he immediately got up, offered his obeisances, touched Narada Muni's feet, and then bathed Narada Muni's feet and sprinkled the water on his head. And he said to Narada Muni, "You are Bhagavan." Krishna telling Narada Muni, "You're Bhagavan. You are self-sufficient in all opulences. What can I do in your service?" We hate service. That's our material disease. And here Krishna is telling his devotees, "What can I do in your service? We want to be the Lord. We want to be the controller." And Krishna is showing him. He wants to serve his devotee. "You are Bhagavan, Narada Muni. What can I do in your service?" And Narada Muni replied that, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're just setting an example. You are responsible for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the universe. But yet you come to this world to show people how to behave. You're asking me, what can you do in my service? I'm just asking you for one thing. No matter where I go, no matter where I appear, heaven or hell, please let me always remember you. Let me always be conscious of you. That is why we have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want to always be conscious of Krishna, no matter what our situation is. And don't think that material life will always be comfortable. Don't you know that Lord Caitanya appeared during what time in India? When the Muslims were controlling huge forces in India. That's why you read in Chaitanya's Charitamrita that when Lord Caitanya was going to Vrindavan, so he would meet Muslim soldiers sometimes on the way, and he would be advised, "Don't go this way because there are disturbances." So it wasn't like everything was materially peaceful during Lord Caitanya's presence, yet still he spread the Harinam Sankirtan movement at such a time. And so many of the temples that the Goswamis built in Vrindavan, they were attacked by the Muslims. They had to hide the deities. Lord Jagannath had to be hidden several times in the Jagannath Puri temple. So, just don't think that because I'm a devotee and I'm serving Krishna, therefore we'll all be immune to material disturbances. Yes, you'll be immune in that your Krishna consciousness will not be affected if you follow the Bhakti Yoga properly. But this world is nothing but a disturbance. So even devotees can be in disturbing circumstances, although they're not disturbed. The real devotee is never disturbed, even though the inevitable disturbing circumstances come. So we should not think that. Well, because deities are here, because the temple is here, everything will always be materially peaceful. No. The temple was established by the Goswami, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, underway disturbance. So we have to become strong in our Krishna consciousness and not depend on material nature for a peaceful life. Now when we ask that benediction, "I just want to be conscious of you. I want to be Krishna conscious. I don't want anything else." So now when we left that palace, we went to another palace. There he saw Krishna playing chess with one of his wives, and Uddhava, his advisor, was there. Upon seeing Narada enter, Krishna immediately gets up and goes through the whole welcoming process again that he just did in the first time. And he didn't show any awareness that he had already welcomed Narada in the other palace, in Rukmini's palace. He moved the whole thing again. At the end, he said to Narada Muni, "You please honor me." This time Narada Muni didn't say anything. He just laughed. He understood, this is Krishna's individual potency, I'm just leaving. Palace after palace, Narada Muni went. In some palaces he bound Krishna, preparing to take his bath. In other palaces he bound Krishna
was petting his children. Some palaces he found Krishna practicing sword and shield. Another palace he found Krishna making war plans. Another palace Krishna making peace plans. Some palaces Krishna is arranging the marriage of his daughters. In other palaces he's welcoming new daughter-in-laws to his household who have married his son. In other palaces he's sending off his daughters to the home of their husband after marriage. Krishna's doing all these things. He's in his economic affairs, going over the household finances. Now he looks at all the palaces. And at the end,
Krishna told him,
I give you the benediction that you won't be bewildered by my yoga maya potency.
So on the one hand, Lord Chaitanya
says, I don't come near kings. On the other hand, Krishna in Dwarka is the supreme king. This is what it means to be Bhagavan,
Sat Aishvarya
Purna. Krishna is full in all six opulences, not simply wealth, but also renunciation. As the supreme renouncer, he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As the supreme wealthy, he's Dwarkana, the controller of Dwarka. As the most beautiful, he's Krishna in Vrindavan.
The mundane
scholars, they
can't understand these different manifestations of Krishna. You know what their conclusion is? They say that
around
between 1000 BC and about 500 AD,
there were three different groups worshipping three different tribal leaders. One tribal leader of the Yadavas was known as Vasudeva Krishna. Then there was another tribal leader known as Krishna Gopal. And then there was another leader known as Narayan. And these were separate cults. And then, by the beginning of the AD, at that time, these cults got together and decided to merge the religions of their cult leaders into one, the Bhagavata cult.
Therefore, you have,
you know, sometimes Krishna is Vasudeva,
the son of Vasudeva.
Sometimes it's Gopal and Vrindavan. Sometimes it's Lord Narayan.
They don't see it as one person.
They see it
as different tribal leaders.
and the Brahmins conspire to create unity by pushing the cult of all these tribal leaders together
and just making one person.
This is what happens when you try to stumble. I want you to experience the presence of the Supreme Lord. And Krishna tells you how to do it.
I'm going to teach you.
So I hear
the teachers.
Mayasa, Samana, Sarsa, Yoga, Munjan, Manasya.
Arjuna, I'm going to teach you how your consciousness can be attached to me.
You're going to know everything about me and hopefully
you're not going to have any doubts.
We were speaking about this.
Maybe it was in class in the city yesterday.
My mother would go
to like the established
kind of real quiet churches Sunday morning, you know, Presbyterian,
Lutheran.
Sunday night, she would go to
what we call the Holy Roller Churches.
And those were the
you
know, Pentecostal, but
what do you call them? Apostolic,
yeah, you know. And they're really young. The
we call it, yes,
we back then called the
Holy Roller Churches because
the people were doing.
Yeah.
They may actually be having their
little version of kirtan.
And they get happy, we call it getting happy. They jump out of the seats and start dancing and die.
So, my brothers and I, we liked the quiet churches because they were only their services on the back. 1 hour, 11 to 12. You get back home and watch the baseball games.
But the Holy Roller Churches,
they had their organs and tambourines and drums. They just go on out.
No big time
ending. But we didn't like it because those services
didn't have a fixed ending. But we did like it because you could always go ahead and check out who'd be the next R&B star, you know? They all came in the choir. They had one song at the Holy Roller Churches. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubts. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubts. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have no doubts. I didn't have no doubts in my mind. I didn't have no doubts. I didn't have no doubts. So actually,
we have the process of
how to have
a I'm not having a doubt.
Because that's our duty.
I'm going to teach you.
I'm not going to have any doubts.
You'll have full knowledge of me. Here's the process.
How to see me everywhere. How to see me in nature. And so, I'm a creation word. I'm the light of the sun, the moon. This is not just idle poetry.
This is giving you precise
methodology. Don't just think it's allegory.
Yes.
It means every time you see the sunlight, you think this is Krishna. Every time you drink water, you think the taste of water is Krishna. Then you'll start to be able to see Krishna personally. The Lord said, by me in my unmanifest form, I'm everywhere. Everything rests on me, but I'm not there. Not there. When Krishna says, I'm not there, he's meaning you can't see me. Ordinarily. So for now, try to see me as I sit. I'm a piece of water. I'm a light of the sun. I'm a light of the sun. And then when you become advanced about it, you'll see me personally everywhere. Just like Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Lord, you're not certified
that because you are not a
brother, as soon as you see anything, you meet the thing of Krishna. Therefore, you actually
don't see the form
of material things.
As soon as you
see something, no matter what it is,
you meet the thing of Krishna, and you're seeing my original form. You don't exactly see the moving and not moving things in themselves.
You see that,
yes, but not
separated immediately.
You're seeing my form because you know it's my energy.
That is the process of bhakti. Just like as soon as you see the sunshine, you leave it in sun.
How many of you like sunshine and don't think of the sun?
Does anyone walk around saying,
oh, the shine, the shine? No. As soon as you see the sunlight, you think the sun. But what happens when we look at this world and the energy, when we look at ourselves, we see it all as separate from Krishna, which is as insane as looking at sunlight and seeing it separate from the sun. So what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita is how to see everything in this world properly so that you will remember Krishna. No belief, technology, methodology, how to achieve the supreme destination. supreme experience. That is real God consciousness. That is real God realization. That is real religion. Amen.
Guna Kami Vibhanasya.
But we follow Jayati Varanasya, at least we should be, in which
the Bhakti Yoga is the center of the one ashram system. We're not just interested in occupations and ashrams just for the sake of it. It's all pointing on Krishna, Krishna. Now we don't want to give Krishna consciousness a bad rap. We give it to our not following properly.
I know one of the monkeys.
Who?
Who?
He went to Prabhupada and
he said, yeah.
Well, but I know that the lady told me this
question. Yeah. And we came out there, you know, where he was, just like you, I mean, you know. So and he killed his head and he came out. So my brother is dead. He spilled a lot of stuff, died his own stuff. And then he had to fish and come.
And he followed the line of drums. What is it?
Essentially, the question was, if somebody is struggling to maintain the vow, that would become nothing. Isn't it really good for Mary and continuing to take the conscious control and that's really good?
That is saying in these terms that in such regrettable, most distasteful circumstances, that you situate yourself in a different way, then go away. That is saying in these terms. Service. That's the only way. If you want to understand why Paul is for this or that, do you want to understand why Krishna did this or that?
Only by devotional service can Krishna and his pure devotees be understood. That is the main point.
Hello, Amy. I'll go ahead and go over.